This segment of the Henry Raine Show is brought to you by Bite Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company, bringing Bitcoin to a location near you. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Raine Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. It's the second half of the Monday Financial Power Block here, immediately after Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, where they cover all markets, Forex, crypto, stocks, options, something else that escapes me right now, commodities, gold. They do it all there. Here, we're a little more specialized. It's your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and a little bit more. And what happened this week? Well, U.S. and Iran tensions ease. And what's the fallout for Bitcoin? Like that little pun there, fallout.
Fallout,
fallout. Anyway, we'll get into that. Bitcoin trading volumes more than doubled in a week, but the U.S. is no longer the top recipient of Bitcoin as valued in dollars. And the Chicago Exchange CME Group has announced its Bitcoin options are now open for trading, and that's a pregnant pause as we let you anticipate what is just, this is a sizzling story. This is a scintillating story. This is in some ways, a Bitcoin life-changing story. Bitcoin's Taproot and Schnorr are coming.
What?
Taproot and Schnorr are coming.
What the heck is that?
I knew you would say that. Well, we'll tell you what to expect from Bitcoin's pending upgrade for 2020. It's bigger than you think, although I've certainly touted it a little bit more now. What? Theme music that's music to his ears. That, of course, would be half of the co-founders of SeekingCryptos.com, half of the good half, originators of Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. I have no idea why he gets second billing on that, because he's always number one here
on
to my
Raine
right-hand
show.
Side on the Henry Raine Show. It's Andy. Hey, Andy.
Hey, good afternoon, Henry.
Well, we got a couple quick announcements, because I want to let people know we are having another Bitcoin meetup. If you're anywhere in the Manatee, Sarasota County area, anywhere in Tampa Bay, anywhere in Florida, anywhere on the Western Hemisphere, we would look forward to seeing you in just a little over 2 weeks, I guess. A little under two weeks. It'll be Saturday, January 25th, 1 o'clock in the afternoon at the Manatee South County Library, which is just a little bit north of the Sarasota County line, so it's the best thing I could come up with to combine the Manatee, the Bradenton, Manatee, Sarasota area, because interest just isn't at the peak of 2017. But I have noticed a little more interest, so I made sure we got this thing scheduled, and I'm hoping to see some of the people there that are already expressing interest. So that's 1 o'clock, Saturday, January 25th, South County Library. Just Google Bradenton Bitcoin Meetup, and I'm sure you'll find, or Sarasota Bitcoin Meetup, and you'll find stuff about that. And there's something else that I wanted to say, other than you always should tune in at 4:05 for SeekingCryptos.com. Oh, and the podcast is available of both shows, Talking Markets and Henry Raine Show, on SeekingCryptos.com. But it seems like there's something else that was hanging over our heads. Next week, Josh Sands will be back again. Of course, he's the crypto tax man, and it's getting to be that time of year. You've been procrastinating. I know it's never too late to procrastinate, but we recommend that you start getting a move on with that. Anyway, before we get into this, the other thing I need to say is that, you know, for the next 12 or 13 weeks, it's an abbreviated show, signing off about 40 minutes after the hour, so I can get to a class I have to take for the next 12 or 13 weeks, and then Andy, are you going to take over either this Monday or next Monday?
I think next Monday we're going to take over.
Okay. All right. Well, you'll surprise us. I'm sure you'll
absolutely
let us know what you have planned. And I will listen on my way to my destination. All right. So anyway, today we're going to try and hit a couple of news items, and then I'm going to do my best, which may not be all that good, but I'm going to try my best to explain.
Wasn't there a song on that?
What?
Do my best. My best wasn't good enough.
Who sang that?
Maybe it was in the Barry Manilow era.
So next week, Andy will be doing radio karaoke.
Yes.
From 5:40 to 6. And will be able to, you just call in and you sing right over the airwaves to entire Tampa Bay.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Well, earlier this week, the world's flagship crypto asset saw its value surge from around the 8,000 mark to over 8,430 within an hour's time. The latest price action came after the Iranian government decided to launch a missile attack on Iraqi military base housing American troops, actually two bases. The overall value of Bitcoin is now up around 15% this year, and for those of you that weren't paying attention, we are 13 days into this year. President Trump downplayed the situation in Iran at a White House press conference, saying that the Middle Eastern power is ready to stand down, and the currency's price slid back to the 8,000 mark, and I guess it's right about 8,100 now, a little over 8,100. With that being said, many prominent figures like Galaxy Digital's Mike Novogratz and Joshua Greer of Digital Asset Capital Management agreed that the rally was definitely linked to what unfolded in Iraq. Yes, I would say that's very safe to say.
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I don't fall for that stuff.
Okay, well, we've got a contrarian here.
Yeah.
Also, we're exploring Bitcoin's price increase has followed an increase in the value of other safe havens as gold, and the artist formerly known as Gold Bug One, I think, would see the correlation there. And where does it leave Iranians and Bitcoin? Well, so we've searched and scoured the news media, and Cointelegraph, among others, reached out to the well-known, I guess in Iran, Hadi Namati, an Iranian digital...
That's like something I'd say when I'm drunk at a bar. Hadi Namati!
Iranian digital currency specialist and chief operating officer of Bitfolio Capital, an open-ended crypto hedge fund. It's amazing how they come up with these descriptions of what they are. Anyway, quoting Hadi Namati, after the summer of 2019, many Iranians came to know about Bitcoin because of all the mining news and the use of electricity associated with the same, which was vastly covered by various state media outlets and newspapers. Bitcoin on a mass scale is being seen as a speculative alternative asset in digital money, end quote. And so I guess even state media has to fill space.
Yeah.
So they're talking about that. I'll tell you about the Iranian mining scene in just a moment. But before we do that, we're going to also get a quote from an actual Tehran-based crypto miner and investor whose name is not Namati. Where is that? Mehar. He's like Cher and Madonna and Beyonce. He just goes by one name. Mehar, the Tehran-based crypto miner. He says, or she says, because I really don't know the gender of that name. Or maybe it's one of those gender names.
I don't think over there they have gender neutral.
Quote, people, yeah, probably not. Well,
or you will be gender neutral if you're
doing crypto mining. You may want to keep this guy's just anything about yourself. People send bits to a currency exchange and receive cash. Most bits also come from farms, and the dollar revenue is very important to people. I think big companies are doing their best to avoid taxation as well. people would do that in Iran?
No.
Huh. No wonder they're in the streets. On the subject of whether there currently exists any easy conversion avenues for people to liquidate their Bitcoin holdings, Mayar told Cointelegraph there are lots of folks who are willing to facilitate peer-to-peer exchanges because they believe Bitcoin is destined for big things in the near future. Well, if you're doing it in the midst of an Iranian...
What's the Iranian currency over there?
I think it's the rial. He highlighted that more traditional routes, such as local Bitcoins, are also quite popular among masses. See our last week's show, we talked about that. And many wealthy Iranians have taken refuge in banks based across Dubai and other Middle Eastern countries. However, with the inflation constantly on the rise, the rial has been facing a lot of devaluation. Yep. And Jeremy Jew. That's J-O-O, excuse me. Don't confuse anything here. The CEO of Uni Coindex. I can't believe I said that. You like to see it? How do you pronounce that? It looks like Uni Coindex.
Yeah,
member of the Malaysian blockchain conglomerate, G1. And to my right is Andrew, the CEO of MultiCoindex.
More, yeah.
And... the conglomerate in Costa Rica of, G2. So send your coins. And also, this person observed the younger population has started small mining operations. This is important, though. Electricity costs are next to nothing in Iran, and in 2017, the customs were not familiar with mining machines. Thus, many came into the country. So wait a minute. Let's break this down. I guess... electricity is probably one of the one things they can generate at a low cost to their citizens. And the customs people couldn't tell a Bitcoin mining machine from a computer without a case.
Yeah.
Where these things suck. There's no screen to watch the video. How are we going to watch Netflix?
Yeah.
Let it go. We're not confiscating
this.
They shut off the internet.
Yeah.
Anyway, that came into the country, especially S9s and other equivalents. As of late 2018, the government is finally aware of these mining machines, which has resulted in prices going up. However, this has not deterred the masses. Iranians use crypto as a store of value, very much like in Venezuela with their currency. Okay, well, we've covered that before. And then just recapping up here, so the miners are prevalent. Investors, if you want to call them that, and active traders, all those people are trying to live a little bit better and going into Bitcoin instead of the Iranian rial. But taking it back to the original premise is, if you listen to Talking Markets or any of these shows for the last, 3-4 months at least, since Bitcoin was around 9,500, I've been bearish on it. And I said there had to be a change in the use case.
Yeah.
It had to be a source of more people wanting to get involved.
Absolutely.
And even if it's not Iranians, if you're in the Middle East and things get a little hot, you want to be able to move money fast. So
and Bitcoin allows that.
Right. And so the strike on Soleimani certainly heated things up,
for him
in particular.
Yeah.
And... then we had that kept some tension up. Then we had I go to one class after this show tonight, and then I have a class on Tuesday night. And I'm sitting in my class, and of course now the professors don't even expect you not to have your phone out. So all of a sudden, while I'm in class last Tuesday is when the strikes hit the Iraqi air bases where the U.S. troops were. And so, of course, that's when the price then spiked to 8,400 plus on Bitcoin. And so I'm still, I got long on Bitcoin with the Soleimani strike and then stayed long through the Iranian retaliation. And then I watched as the price came down. I said, President Trump. Said he wanted to see them stand down, and he tried to calm things down a little bit in his manner. And I'm being kind.
We don't want an escalation, but don't.
But there was definitely a tamping down of expectations of violence, et cetera.
Absolutely.
And then I saw that the price was coming down. I took my profit, got out, and then two or three days later, it seemed, you know, like we weren't going to get we got profit taking, but not as big as I expected. So now I'm not as long as I was.
Don't tell her that.
but even before the Iranian strike, it wasn't that great. But anyway, but I have gone back in because, not because of what we're about to talk to about the upgrades, although that makes me even more bullish, but because it seemed to me that, I said that there was an automatic more people needed it because of the violence. But I think there's an after effect where people are back to the state they were like maybe a year ago when people in Venezuela and Argentina were buying it. Like, well, maybe this thing is a good idea.
Yeah.
Maybe it would be good to have some of my wealth in an asset that I can move. Yeah, it's the same way like as in gold, but only I can move it really.
I feel sorry for the silver stackers.
It's hard.
They're going to go down the wheel. They're going to be running with a wheelbarrow.
Yeah, well, it's hard to move a $100,000 of gold.
No, it's not.
Now, how much does that weigh?
You put it in two hands.
It's hard to move $2 million of gold.
Yeah, you got to carry it under your arm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it hurts your back.
Yeah. You one brick.
Nobody gets back strain carrying Bitcoin
across
the border.
That's right. You know, 100-ounce bar of gold is, you know, $150,000. I mean.
So I'm just going to touch the headline of these other stories as a validation. So anyway, the report published on January 9th by Arcane Research, that's a great name, a real entrepreneur picked that one, Bitcoin volume has more than doubled in a week, which would bear forth with what all the activity that was going on in the marketplace and the movement up and down. Per the report, the seven-day average saw a 126% increase in the week starting 2020 with almost 1.5. Actually, that's really before. It sort of caught most of the part of the week. All right, then moving
now,
on.
How's the futures market going? Has that been going on?
Well, I'm going to get to that in just a second. Not the futures, but the options market.
All right.
Also, Bitcoin's blockchain showed a renaissance number of transactions climbing 5% in a week as the transaction value grew by 1/4 over the same period. Miner fees, as in the D miners, fees increased by over 40%, and the number of active addresses increased by 7.63%. So people were finding new places to put the Bitcoin that they were worried about that they would need when they had to flee their situation. For the first time since 2013, the U.S. is no longer the top recipient of Bitcoin as valued in U.S. dollars. Singapore took the lead over the course of 2019.
What?
Yeah, and I'll tell you my theory on this, and since nobody else is offering one, mine might be as right as anybody. Anyway, global users, as of December 5th of last year, sent Bitcoin valued at $8.58 billion to Singapore. According to analytics site Crystal Blockchain, which I put more stock in them than somebody they called Arcane Bitcoin or whatever it was, users in Singapore received more dollars via Bitcoin last year than anywhere else in the globe. U.S. held the top spot from 2014 to 2018, but slipped to second place, receiving $7.46 billion in Bitcoin. I'm going to stumble over the
Seychelles and Seychelles.
The Seychelles? They're the islands that
the outflow.
Are those in American territory or are those independent?
Yeah.
Well, somebody must know because they get all their Bitcoin out of there. Singapore, however, did not send the most money via Bitcoin last year, so they're hoarding over in Singapore.
Island country.
And BitMEX host site,
BitMEX
in the Seychelles, sent the greatest U.S. dollar amount of Bitcoin in 2019, valued at, because anybody that doesn't want BitMEX taking care of it in the Seychelles, someplace you can't even pronounce, $10.07 billion, holding second spot on the list of overall transaction. U.S. came in third overall on the list of Bitcoin transaction volume. And a tumble for the country that had held the top spot for 5 years. 2013, the U.K. was the most money flowing in and out of via Bitcoin. So I'm thinking it went to Singapore because of maybe a contributing factor was the strife in Hong Kong, because there was a lot of crypto Bitcoin entrepreneurial activity in Hong Kong, And it would make sense that they would want to get their Bitcoin the heck out of there.
Yeah.
And Singapore is like right around Stone the proverbial Hill,
yeah.
corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And finally, Chicago Exchange CME Group has announced a highly anticipated, well,
Ooh.
Some people were anticipating, Bitcoin options are now open for trading that actually started at CME Global around 1500 UTC time Monday. Contracts are in 5 Bitcoins. CME relies on trade flow data from several of the largest Bitcoin exchanges. Well, that's all good to track the price. Let's see. This is following the launch of the backed Bitcoin options, which I think started trading last month,
mm-hmm.
and Deribit, which I have shown that user interface to you many, 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 many months ago. Recently announced they are moving from the Netherlands to Panama, which I think probably means that they were worried that the Amsterdam and the EU was going to make them do know your customer stuff, so now they're over in Panama, and or they're going to Panama. Let's see. And let's, all of these are, where is the CME one? I'm trying to see where they're launched. They're not in the U.S., I know that. Even though the CME is in the U.S., they are doing their Bitcoin options exchange outside the U.S.
Why is that?
Well, because all the cool kids do
so.
Options outside the U.S. All right. So, got through all that, did the speed round on the news, and that was to get us to the upgrade, for me to catch my breath and actually be able to try and talk about Bitcoin's Taproot and Schnorr upgrade. Mm. Now,
I'm ready for the Taproot upgrade.
Well, the Schnorr upgrade does not need a CPAP to remediate it.
You're kidding.
No. Anyway, it's going to be finished soon, according to the way the community comments and reviews and upgrades these things. The research shows that the Taproot Schnorr soft fork, which I guess is different from like the Bitcoin Cash hard fork, which soft fork, you know, everybody's in on the fork, is among the most, that's like the other thing, the most anticipated. Everything's the most anticipated since the last most anticipated. Anyway, there's also other upgrades, which we're not going to review all right now, but 2020 is a big year for upgrades for Bitcoin. Graphroot, SigHash non-input, the Great Consensus Cleanup, and OpChunk Template Verify may also see progress. Won't try and explain those other than maybe the Great Consensus Cleanup, because that actually is written in plain English. One of the things that you're going to find, and the person that sort of mentored me on radio like a decade and a half ago, who was an actual professional as opposed to whatever I'm doing, he always said, tell people what you're going to tell them, then tell them, and then tell them what you told them. Which is probably good advice on something like an upgrade like this. But one of the things that the Great Consensus Cleanup will bring out, and one of these other ones, the Taproot and Schnorr upgrade, is the influence now of Square and their development team in Bitcoin. So it seems that, like Jack Dorsey, when he said he was going to create this sort of, out of the goodness of his heart, Bitcoin development team to help it gain more use and use cases and users in the global economy. He seemed to have a plan because he is going to have quite a bit of influence on the way Bitcoin is handled or dealt with in the coming year or two. And also, he is the one that is the advocate of Bitcoin being the global currency. You know, he's been on record as saying that. He's not trying to do U.S. dollar coin or, you know, Paxos or, you know, whatever Circle was trying to do and all those others. So let's start to break this down a little bit. So Bitcoin hasn't really been upgraded in 2 years. The last thing they did was segregated witness called SegWit, which just is a different way of signing off. And if I understood it correctly, it was a way to get the signatures or the, you know, the validation of the private keys off the blockchain so that it could move a little faster. Now, really, with the kind of volume we've had and the number of transactions, whether it was SegWit or something else, seems like we've managed to overcome a lot of these problems that the people that launched Bitcoin Cash were worried about, that withdrawal would just clog up the blockchain and be like a Roto-Rooter would have to come and clean out all the Bitcoin out of the blockchain. So anyway, this is the biggest upgrade since then, which is about 2017. These are going to be backward compatible. So they're not going to be disruptive like the Bitcoin Cash and then the Bitcoin Cash SV are. So anyway, it starts with the signatures. Schnorr, Taproot, TapScript is like all an umbrella that this is in. And Schnorr signatures are considered by many cryptographers to be the best type of cryptographic signatures in the field. Now, you may be wondering why you haven't heard about those being talked about in Bitcoin. Well, unless you're really like in the weeds on the technical stuff and you know that this was something that was being moved to in the last year and a half or so, one of the reasons you might be because it's been under patent. So they couldn't use it previously. Mm-hmm. But now the patent has expired, and anybody that can understand how to use it can use it. So it's let's see, they're relatively fast to verify. It allows for math to be performed with them. So getting between the lines on that, it sounds to me like, and I'll get validated on my thinking here in a second, mm-hmm. that it's going to allow for smart contracts, which is what Ethereum is supposed to be used for, or Neo, or Stellar.
Or any of them.
Yeah. Any of the ones that aren't just going to be the digital gold. Except now the digital gold seems to be everything. If all that I'm going to go through here is true. So anyway, one concrete benefit, several signatures can be aggregated into a single signature, which could, for example, economically incentivize price-enhancing coin join transactions. Okay, break that down. So, in other words, let's just say hypothetically that you owned a restaurant and you want to delegate buying supplies, your food supplies in particular, to your manager. But as nice a guy as the manager is, or a nice girl as the manager is, you're a little suspicious nature, and you don't want them to just, like, have access to the cash flow and your bank account and buy whatever they want. So, in some cases, you might have, like, two signatures on a check. Some people still remember what checks are like. Yeah. You know, and two people have to sign. A little bit like that, only it would be like if on that check you had another thing in the memo, only good for food. Can't buy anything else. Absolutely not. Send him to jail. So, if he tries. That's where we're starting to go with this. And only you can have even more levels of this. So let's take it to another level. Let's say that you're manufacturing something. And you've got vendors supplying you on one side. You've got something that's going out on another side to your customer, and you want the transactions for the vendor to get paid, and you want to receive the payment from the client at the same time. The vendor is extending you enough credit to have whatever it is coming into you to manufacture whatever it is the client wants, and everybody signs off in advance, except for, you know, wherever the conditional thing is, and bang, like a smart contract, once the condition is met, the multi-signature aspect that is now be able to be done on Bitcoin makes it possible to have a smart contract.
Mm.
Okay. Schnorr signatures. The worst thing about Schnorr signatures are saying Schnorr signatures as many times as you have to. Are part of a bigger soft fork protocol upgrade called Taproot, proposed by Bitcoin Core contributor Gregory Maxwell, and it was also inspired by an older proposal called MASK, which is Merkleized Abstract Syntax Tree. I'm not going to try and explain that to you. But it does I think, tie in. I think we're going to come on to Square in a bit. Anyway, you can do a lot of different things with this. You can have time locks. You can have secret numbers of several participants. You don't have to know. In other words, the client doesn't have to know that the vendor is in this process. Only whoever is setting it up. You can have secret agreements on what unlocks the coins. Anyway, it's a cryptographic data structure, and it's essentially locked up in a final hash of the Merkle tree, which, you know, you all know about the Merkle tree.
Yeah.
Anyway, the taproot then is based on a realization, no matter how complex, almost any mass construction, that was what we were talking about before, could include a condition that allows all participants to agree on an outcome and sign off on a settlement transaction together. This cooperative close would override all other conditions. So you've done a lot. You've given so many different contracts in your professional life outside of trading in Bitcoin that you can probably see where this could simplify things once if it ever
comes
to reality.
And make sure you get paid, you know.
I don't think it's a big secret. Andy is an engineer, and he's worked on a lot of clients' projects that have lots of vendors and lots of different jobs within jobs. So he appreciates this. Anyway, now here comes where the secrecy part. The Taproot leverages this realization and utilizes Schnorr signatures. So we've had Taproot and Schnorr. So now we got to the Taproot part. The cooperative close would be done with an aggregated signature, which looks just like a regular signature. In doing so, the construction remains completely hidden to the outside world. So all these transactions that happen, unlike, you know, everything on the distributed ledger, we know when stuff goes in and out of addresses. Well, now we have a mechanism for the individual, all these small things that are happening, to be out of sight. And not until the final close does it show up on the distributed ledger. Again, something that like Monero and who knows whatever, Zcash or some of these other ones have tried to do, now are going to become possible with Bitcoin. So we've already eliminated what Ethereum can do and Neo, et cetera. We're now eliminating what Monero, Zcash can do. I'm not too sure the U.S. National Security Council and some of the other governments are going to be thrilled about this, but it's sort of like the horse has left the barn on a lot of on the Bitcoin idea. So far as the developers, it doesn't seem to be contentious. Excuse me, I'm looking ahead. So that brings us to the great consensus cleanup. It's a proposal for a soft fork by
Square
crypto developer Matt Carallo, as opposed to most protocol upgrades, including those on the list that the Great Consensus Play does not intend to enrich Bitcoin with new features. This is going to clean up a lot of the vulnerabilities. So in other words, the Square developer is closing loopholes, locking doors, and locking down the whole operation. And then, seeing at the time, we'll have to sort of jump to the end here of another Square person here. See, there's actually, Andy is looking at my rundown.
Holy
there
Moses.
Is quite a lot of upgrades going, but these were the big ones. Anyway, let's see. The Taproot Schnorr soft fork. The proposal moving forward is designed to save 30 to 75% in fee use and accelerate block validation by up to 2.5 times. Square Crypto Product Manager Steve Lee predicted during a presentation from last summer. So now that's not a different thing. That's a Taproot Schnorr. But evidently we have, you know, it was a little team that Square hired. It wasn't like 20 or 30 people. It was a handful of people. So we've got one who's deeply involved in the Great Consensus Cleanup. We got another one that's deeply involved making presentations on Schnorr and Taproot. And I'm thinking Jack Dorsey and Square are going to be very prominent in the next couple years when we talk about Bitcoin. So, any thought, Andy? I rushed through that.
That's a lot of information there.
Yes, but it'll be able to be listened to again if you go to SeekingCryptos.com, and you can actually hear what Mark and Andrew were saying about the price of Bitcoin, which is what everybody really cares about.
As long as it's going up.
Yes. Oh, shoot. Where's that one? Anyway. All right. Well, with that, I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Andy for sticking around for this. Next week, when I sign off at this time, he has a surprise in store for the radio audience, live on the air, and it won't necessarily be a podcast. SeekingCryptos.com. Get both podcasts, Talking Markets and Henry Rain Show, or just Google Henry Rain Show. If you Google Talking Markets, you'll still get lost.
Yeah.
You got to just go to SeekingCryptos.com. But you can Google the Henry Rain Show. You can find some stuff there. And Bitcoin Meetup, South County Library in Manatee County,
January
1 p.m., January 25th. Josh Sands, Crypto Tax Man, next week. And thanks to Andy again for being here.
It's on the way up. It's on the way up. It's on the way up.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show.